And let's, before we get into the Word today, pray with me. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect You to minister to me and speak to me right where I am. My heart is open. My ears are ready for all that You have for me. Lord, I thank You that Your Word is alive and real, but You do speak to me right now. Now, Father, we just thank You for Your Word today. I ask You, Lord, as we approach Your Word, I thank You, Father, You speak to us. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding, as it says in Ephesians. Enlighten us. Enlighten us to the truth of Your Word. Lord, may we see it. May we hold on to it and never let it go. We're so grateful, Lord, for all that You're doing in our hearts and in our lives. And we worship You right now, Lord, as we get ready to receive and hear what You have for us. And we just give You all the praise and the glory right now in Jesus' name, thanking You for Your anointing. And Lord, we thank You and give You praise in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Amen. Praise. Hallelujah. Good day. Good times. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we've been sharing with you about end times, and I did want to say this morning. We do have the handout, so make sure you get this one today. It's different. We're going to talk about the rapture today in particular and spend some time sharing about the rapture. People ask me, what's your favorite books? I like anything Hilton Sutton wrote, period. I think Hilton Sutton was probably one of the most accurate scriptural teachers of end time things that I've ever read after. Brother Hilton was in Virginia ministering, and someone in a military staff car pulled up at the church and came in, sat in the service. This guy had medals all over him, very proper. He tucked his hat under his arm when he walked in, very fit and proper, and came and sat down in the back. When the servant, and Hilton noticed this because Hilton was in the military too. He was a high-ranking officer. And when the service was over, this young man came up front and said, Mr. Sutton, I've been dispatched here to take you with me at the end of the service. I need you to come with me. We have someone at the Pentagon that wants to meet you and talk to you. So Hilton, because he's a military guy, he immediately gets in the car and leaves. After praying for people and all that, and the young man was very honorable, worshiped the Lord even in the back. But when they left together, he said, where are we going? He goes, well, sir, I can't tell you that right yet, but I'm going to take you to the Pentagon. So they walk in. He goes in a special gate, underground parks, goes to do the whole thing. He escorts him all the way to the Joint Chiefs of Staff area. And he goes into the Joint Chiefs office. And in there, they have all of Hilton Sutton's books, all of his tape series, everything. And Hilton realizes he's about to get questioned. So these are ringing up here, Joe. He's about to get questioned. And they begin, I won't tell you the whole story, I heard this privately. But they asked him, says, how do you know this? How do you know that? How did you know about this and this kind of stuff? Well, he goes, the Bible talks about it. He goes, nobody knows that we have this position there and here and there and four. The Bible talks about it. So they had a good time talking. They got the gentleman who was a believer, spirit-filled, loved the Lord. And they had a lengthy discussion about things. He asked him his personal opinion about things. So don't think for a moment there's not people in high places that are serving God, because they are. Anyway, Hilton Sutton's one of my favorites. Another one of my favorites, you all know this, is Joe Morris. He has two books out. This one, I forgot to pull the other one, and it's about the Ancient of Days coming back. But this one, I think, is one of the best books that's ever been written about 75-plus signs of Jesus' soon return. And he talks about all the scriptural evidence of things in this book. And it's very powerful. It's simple. It's easy for you to grab hold of. I love the title, End Times Made Easy. And over here in the little subtitle, it says, there is no bad news for the Christian. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. You shouldn't be afraid of end times. You should be excited about it. Whoo, because we're getting close. Amen. Something to shout about. And then one of my favorite authors also is Rick Renner. And his book that came out recently was The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation. Probably the most profound, most accurate stuff I've ever read. A lot of people are armchair quarterbacks. Can I say that like that? They all have an opinion. But I tell you, the opinions need to line up with the scriptures. And these are good. Someone I read, and I say this, and I preface this as a warning, your brain will go into swimming in high water if you read this author, but Finnis Dake, the Dake Bible, he has a lot of really good books about God's plan for man, about another time, another place. It talks about the time gap, and it's really scriptural in the Hebrew, the time gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And there's a lot of interesting things. I think he's extremely 99 to 100% accurate. I've had a problem with a good video player to show it, but I'm hoping later this summer to be able to show you the DVDs of him preaching at Melody Land in California before he passed away. And he lays out on the platform the entire God's plan for man, the whole mural, and he talks about it. He talks about the tribulation. He talks about all the things. It's very powerful. But I love reading some of his works. If you get a Dake's Bible, you almost need a computer to be able to bounce back and forth with all the notes. But those notes are also in a bound book called God's Plan for Man. And it's very easy to follow and go through chapter by chapter. But you know, you want to follow people that are accurate and not preaching stuff that's just out there. A lot of people want to harp on the out there. And I tell you, if it tickles your fancy, you might want to take a step back and line it up with the scripture. Amen. And you know, I'm going to throw this out. Well, I mean, I'll wait because I want to get to where I'm going today and I'll say some of this again. But those are good authors. And I wouldn't promote them if I didn't believe in them. I know Joe personally. There's been some others that Joe has followed after. Joe's a big Dake follower as well. And he read a lot of things from Finnis Dake, and very powerful things. So I just encourage you, you know, have some balance about your life. Don't just go because you get all goosebumps and all that. You know, not all the time the goosebumps are the Holy Ghost. Hello? Are you there, McFly? Hello? Not everything is God. It needs to line up with the Word of God. So pay attention. Amen. It's just important. And I joked about it during our last series here. You know, everybody thought when you got the vaccination card, well, that's the mark of the beast. No, if you read your Bible, you know you won't be here for that. That's not it. And I think sometimes, like I said last week, we major on the minors instead of majoring on the majors. And the majors are, we're supposed to win the lost. And we're supposed to tell people that Jesus is coming soon. And you need to be in church. You need to get your family to church. Because, folks, I'm telling you, the King is coming. So last couple weeks, we've talked about in the series, the failed grasp of the big picture. The big picture is you need to tell people about Jesus, okay? Today, I want to talk to you about how the King is coming, ready or not. Do y'all remember when you used to play hide and seek? And they made you count to 100, especially if they really wanted to get you lost. They made you count to 100, or they made you, you know, of course, I would always do it by fives to get to 100 real quick. You know, ready or not, here I come. Let me tell you something. When it's time for Jesus to come back, you best be ready. You best be living for Him. And I'll tell you this, and I'm going to get into this for the part two of this, but you better be a doer of the Word. Amen. And not just a hearer only. A lot of people want to play church, play with the things of God. They let offense drive their life. And those things are not good. You need to be around people. You need to be around people who are hungry for God just like you. We need each other. And as the days get shorter and the days that are ahead, there'll be more and more people that will fall away. We're seeing that in massive, massive ways. But yet at the same time, we're seeing massive revivals take place on college campuses. In Europe, the number one move of God right now is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it is a blooming blaze all across Europe, including Russia. And you need to wake up to these things. We're all consumed with politics, and that's okay. But I tell you, you better get a grasp on the big picture, because everybody's going to bow to the King. Everybody. Everybody. America has a destiny to fulfill. So does Europe. And when God says it's ready, it's time, He will turn to the Son and say, Jesus, it's time. And just like that, the disappearance will take place on this planet and chaos will ensue. And it will be something that nobody will ever forget that gets left behind. Are you here today? Amen. So I want to talk to you about how the King is coming. And I want to specifically talk to you about the rapture. Everybody say, the King is coming.
The King is coming.
Ready or not? Here He comes. Do you believe that?
Amen.
All right. Amen. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52, and I'm reading from the New American Standard here, and I'm going to use different scriptures as we go, different translations, because I think it helps bring it alive. I'm going to tell you about some Hebrew words, Greek words today that you need to get a hold of. But the King is coming, ready or not. And Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. The word sleep there means dead. We'll not all be dead. Ooh, amen. Not everybody's going to be dead. Some of us are going to be wide awake and alive and breathing. And then that moment will happen. And I'll read it again. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Everybody say changed. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be what? Man, boy, that's going to feel really something, isn't it? I've told you about that story, me leaving my body. I got a feeling it's going to be like that. That tingly feeling all of a sudden, but it'll happen so quick, and then you're out. You're gone. When the trumpet sounds, everything will happen instantly. What an extraordinary time we're living in right now. Are you excited about the days we're living in? You should be. That's why I turn the news off, so don't get mad all the time. Amen. We had fun. We went and voted. There was a person that I just didn't want to see get elected again because her and her husband are just terrible people. Rude, mean, hateful. And I told Melissa, I won't vote for her. This guy gets on Oakland Speaks and just tears down everybody. And you know, if he says the wrong thing too many times, somebody's going to hold him liable. She goes, well, just write your name in.
She didn't have a
position. She didn't have anybody opposing her. So, praise God, your pastor is now running for county commissioner in Fayette County. Yeah. So I hope Skip, Mayor Skip Taylor, I hope he gets to see that and all that. We've been around him a lot lately. I wrote my name in. She wrote my name in. So praise God. You know, come election night, I'm going to go look it all up. I'm going to print out. There's James Farmer right there. Yeah, buddy. County Commission. There we go. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you know, it's a great time to be alive. There's a lot of things you can get caught up in, but it's not worth losing your noodle over it. Amen. You better be living for Jesus. That's what's important. Everybody say important. Amen. Living for Him is what's important. I don't know about you, I'd rather be found at the Master's feet than all caught up and mad and all consumed and full of fear. Because, you know, end times, there's no bad news for me. Ain't no bad news for you either. Amen. What a great time to be alive. What a wonderful point in history in which to be a child of the Most High God. How many of you are children of God? Amen. Amen. You're born again. You love Jesus. Amen. You know, according to Scripture, we are the generation that will not only see the end of one millennium and the beginning of the next, but we are also the generation that will usher in the last millennium. And I am firmly convinced that you and I, each one of us, we are that generation of believers that will experience the rapture of the church. And I'm here to tell you what a privilege it is to be alive right now. What a privilege it is to take the breath every day. What a privilege it is to open your Bible and read the Word. What a privilege it is to spend time praising Him and magnifying Him. Getting fired up to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Not about yourself, but about what Jesus did. Because that's what it's all about. He's coming back. Whether you're ready or not, He's coming back. Can you imagine just what Abraham's thinking right now? What Moses is feeling right now? What about all the apostles too? Man, I can only imagine what the Apostle Paul is thinking right now. Wow, gee whiz. Whoa, I wish I could be in their shoes. What a great, man, what a great time to be alive. And the great cloud of witnesses is all around cheering you on. Telling you, go, baby, go. Your best days are ahead of you. Honor the Lord. Keep on going. Don't let things get you down, but run for the prize. Come on. Can you imagine Paul up there? Whoo, man, I wrote that. They're following after the things I wrote, bless God. I mean, most of the New Testament bylaws and things we all stand for in the local church, Paul wrote them all. It'd pay you to read your New Testament too. Can you imagine what they're thinking? Oh, I wish I could be in their shoes. But, unfortunately, in our generation right now, a lot of people just scoff about it. They're not excited. They're church floaters. When it comes to things like the rapture of the church, I mean, they're kind of flipping about it. They don't want to hear it. Or this, you know, when they hear preaching about the literal establishment of the reign of Christ upon the earth, King of kings, Lord of lords, they scoff at that. They don't believe it. They don't think that will ever happen. And when Cheryl and Harry were here, former Miss America, and Harry worked for Oral Roberts for so long, we were talking about different things, and Cheryl's real upfront, and Harry is too. Well, you know, so-and-so, they believe in this and this and this, and I'm like, what? I never would have thought that. They believe you're not going to go into rapture. They believe, you know, we'll all be here until we all take charge. But that's not scriptural. It's not. There's too many other scriptures that back up the other. And that's why you got to look at things from a biblical perspective. Somebody shout amen. Amen. But there's a lot of the establishment type of church, if you would, who just don't want to believe that. They're thinking otherwise. And there's a lot of people who aren't even born again who thinks all these things are just unreal, that they don't exist, that it's all a figment of your imagination. Larry Norman, I want to do that song sometime, Wesley, you know, that Mama Killed a Chicken song. The title of the song is called Watch What You're Doing. One of the lines is, some folks say that the good Lord's dead, that He doesn't exist except inside your head. I wonder how many is going to be surprised when they look us straight up and see Him coming in the sky. You better watch what you're doing. We don't play games. You know, not enough good old-fashioned preaching about don't play games. The things of God are real. The power of God is real. The healing power of God is real. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is real. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues, it's real. There are things we're supposed to be doing, and we best be doing it. We best be a doer of the word. Because, boy, the trumpet's going to sound, and you're going to wish you were. Come on. A lot of people don't even want to hear these things. They think they're not real, and they want to stay comfortable in their realm of fantasy. And they want to mock whatever threatens that fantasy. But sadly, you ready? That's true even for those who claim the name of Jesus. In fact, one recent survey indicated that nearly half of America's born-again Christians do not believe in the rapture of the church. Half. That's frightening. These things aren't being preached like they used to be. We've turned into a touchy-feely people who get our feelings hurt, who want to try to control and manipulate other people instead of being a doer of the word. And I tell you what, God don't like that. Amen. You need to judge yourself lest you be. Amen. I tell you, if your porch is dirty, you need to sweep the porch. Amen. I sat in that porch swing last night. We got pillows for it finally. I was grilling chicken. And I just climbed up in that porch swinging. I texted Kristen and Josh and sent them pictures of all the pillows. Kristen's writing back, hey, can I use that to do a promotion? I said, absolutely. That's why I'm sending it to you. And she goes, what you doing? I said, I'm making chicken. But I'm sitting in the swing. And boy, it's nice. But I sat there swinging just thinking. You remember that old country song? Just a swinging. I was sitting there just a swinging. Melissa wasn't there. She was at Gail's birthday party. And but I was sitting there thinking, you know, a lot of people just don't believe this stuff's real. But Jesus is coming back. What's the Bible say about scoffers? Well, I'm glad you asked. These first two verses are telling you about something that's about to happen. This verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, talking about skeptics. Peter writes, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, and look at this, walking according to their own lust, saying, hey, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all continue just as they were from the beginning of creation. None of this is real. Everything's still the same old, same old. Yeah, but suddenly, like a thief in the night, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, being a scoffer, where these matters are concerned, especially we're talking about the rapture today, being a scoffer where these matters are concerned is dangerous ground. Everybody say dangerous ground. How many of you know when you say or do something, all of a sudden on the inside you cringe? And you know you should not have done that. Am I the only one? If you're hearing from the Holy Ghost, your conscience isn't seared. You're not just shooting off at the mouth without a reservation. I mean, God gets you. It's like, you shouldn't have said that. And if you're a loving believer, you quickly go and repent and fix it. Amen. Because we're supposed to be ambassadors of his love, not snotty people. Amen. That's Theodore Roosevelt looking at you. Carry a big stick. You need to love people. I don't care what they did to your Cheerio bowl. You need to love people. Amen. Because you're going to give an account for how you handled his love. Every word you spoke. Scripture tells us that. Jesus told us that one. Every idle word. There's a lot of scoffers these days. A lot of conspiracy theories these days about these things. And you know, this verse shows us that if you make light of end times, if it's not real to you, the probability is you will indeed fulfill the lust of your flesh. That's what Peter's saying here. You will not reflect nor participate in God's will for you and flow in His many blessings because you believe more in being a scoffer and denying the things of the Word instead of being a doer of the Word. Come on, that's good preaching. Although, folks, we are living in a time in which interest in eschatology. Everybody say eschatology. Can I take you to Bible college with me? Eschatology. Say it again. Just kind of rolls off the tongue. Eschatology. You got to say it like you're a real prideful religious person. Eschatology, bless God. You know what that means? That's a study of end times. That's what eschatology means. You learned something big today. Amen. Eschatology, the study of end times. We're living in a time right now where all this stuff is really on fire. People are hungry for it. They want to know what's going on. Rick Renner doing all that study on Noah's Ark. I don't know about you, but the news media jumped on that. There are reports everywhere about they believe they have found Noah's Ark. There's more news reports that are out that the stone that the sacrifice was made on after they got off the ark, they found that, where the blood trough is. And what did Jesus tell us? Just as it is, or as it was in the days of, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Folks, there's a hunger for these things right now. People are hungry for Jesus. There is a hunger for things, and it's never been higher than it has been in history as it is right now. But yet, in the midst of all that, there's so much confusion and ignorance where the subject of the rapture is concerned. And it is for these reasons that I want to share some things with you today. The most common questions that I think need to be answered about this glorious event called the rapture. And I want to give you some good Bible answers, okay? So first off, first question a lot of people will ask me, well, Pastor, you know, the word rapture never appears in the Bible. Where does this belief come from? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's true that our English word rapture, and the word rapture, if you're writing things down today, the word rapture means a catching away. It's like you know, you've thrown a fishing line out in the lake, and you're reeling it in, but when the fish bite it, what are you going to do? You're going to set that hook and bring your fish in. Well, you're going to catch that fish. Catch it away. You know, there's going to come a time where Jesus is going to come get us and bring us home. And He will catch you away from the evil that's about to take place on the planet. The English word rapture means the catching away. It does not appear in most English translations of the Bible. But, listen to me, the concept of rapture, the concept of a catching away, is found throughout Scripture. There's different instances in the Bible. And I'm just going to throw some instances out, and you can go and look them up yourself and study them. And in Rick Renner's book about the rapture, he talks about these a lot. But in the Old Testament, there were several raptures. Everybody say rapture. It's a moment where someone was caught away with the Lord. Caught away. But there's several raptures in the Old Testament. Instances in which one of God's servants or people were caught away into heaven without experiencing physical death. Enoch and Elijah are examples of this phenomenon. The church is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. And the verse reads like this, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain," talking about being here on the earth, "until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Again, the word asleep is talking about those who have passed away before us. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a" what? A foghorn? No, He's going to come with a shout. With a shout. with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And what does it go on to say? We use this verse at funerals a lot. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we, everybody say, that's me. Come on. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Called up together with them in the what? Clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. You know, I love thinking about heaven and going through it. And there's some books I got at home where it talks about all the different things in heaven. One of those Dake's books, he just talks about all the different things in heaven and shows the scriptures that lines up with it. And it's just overwhelming reading it. It's like, whoa, it's going to be so cool. I mean, man, you have no idea. It's going to be so awesome. Everything you're doing now will be magnified. Everything you're doing on this earth with your talents, your giftings, and your abilities is going to be even greater. You want to learn something new to do? God will magnify that. You'll learn it quick. There's so much ahead for us. So much you should be excited about. And it's time. You need to be in church. Don't you know we love you? Don't you know Jesus loves you? Come on, He can fix what you're doing. He can fix and turn around things for you. You know, He died so you can have victory. He didn't die for you to be all filled with depression and blues and agony and, oh, pitiful me. No, He died so you could walk free and live a good life. God wants you to tell people about Him. Amen. Tell people. I texted our server that we always use at Amerigo's, Mr. James, last night, and I was just thinking about it. I started praying for him. Well, I texted him and said, hey, bud, I'm praying for you. He's believing for a better job, one where he can make more money. And he has a dream. He has a couple things he's working on. He wants to make happen. And I just said, I'm praying for you. I'm believing God for you. And I gave him a little Bible verse and stuff. And he wrote me back with a bunch of hearts and said, man, thank you so much. I needed to hear this right now. And then I got on Instagram and he liked 150 different things that I wrote. And you know, you got a call in your life to minister to people. Every one of you have holy in front of your name if you're born again. That's what reverend means. It means you're holy. If you've been blood washed, you're holy. But yet some people in the body of Christ are just clerical Christians. Only God knows. You need to straighten your act up and be somebody for the kingdom. Hey, pull your britches up and be somebody. Amen. Amen. Well, that verse there, let me read it again. For this we say by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And with the voice of an archangel. Boy, that's going to be loud. You think it's, you know, people complain about loud. You have no idea what loud's going to be. And when we hear the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, the Greek word translated in that verse, caught up, the Greek word translated caught up in this passage is harpazio. And it literally means to seize or to catch away. In other words, this verse is a direct reference to the rapture of the church. And this is by no means the only New Testament reference to this event. We've already gave a couple of them. But you know what? It's important. There's a lot of other verses you can read on the subject. But here's the next question a lot of people ask me. How can we know the timing of the rapture? Now, I'll admit, I've sat with Joe Morris and we've talked about things that we think, and I won't get into those. I do believe in numbers in the Bible, and I'm talking about the book of Numbers. I'm talking about number sequences. A lot of things God did are in threes. Jesus' number is 7, if you didn't know that. There's lots of references in the scriptures as types and shadows. Egypt is a type and shadow of the world. Pharaoh is a type and shadow of the devil. But in scripture, you have the trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, and all the different things. Joe and I were talking about this when he was here last time and the time before that. And there's things I believe, but I won't preach them from the pulpit, okay? A lot of people who want to sit there and again, be armchair quarterbacks about these things. Anybody I've ever known that set a time on the rapture has egg on their face later. Right? What about that guy who published that book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming in 1988? Anybody have that book? I got it in a file somewhere out in the garage in a file folder. 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming Back in 1988. And then the follow-up book was 89 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming in 1989, literally. Amen. Fort Dallas. Oh, dear God. They made a show out of him. You know, anybody that wants to sit there and put a date on it, you're going to end up with egg on your face. But the Word of God does indicate that we and should be aware of the signs of the times and the seasons. And at last, you know, the last month here, we've talked about the big picture, you know. One of the things that happens right after the raptures, as I told you, is the Ezekiel 38 war, Russia coming down on Israel. And all the players are in order right now. They've all made military treaties to arm each other and to take care of one another should they be attacked. It's going to happen. But there's a little few scriptures and prophecies that haven't been fulfilled yet, like the Damascus line in ruins. But the thing I've been telling you is all these world events can happen just like dominoes falling suddenly. Right now, everything's sitting a certain way. But there's a lot going on in the Middle East. If you're not paying attention, you really ought to. Time's short. Within a matter of 30 minutes time or even minutes, everything with one tug of a string could unravel. And the Father leans over to Jesus and says, "Go get him." We don't know when. Even Jesus said, "At a day and a time you know if not." But listen to me. There's another clear mention of this catching away that appears in the second chapter of Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians. And this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Notice what it says there. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or trouble." This is where we get the thing. There's no bad news. No bad news. "Don't be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of the Lord, the day of Christ had come." Well, in this passage, there's two events that are described here. The first one with the phrase, "the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," Paul is talking about the literal second advent, where Jesus literally, as I shared with you the last couple weeks, touches down on the Mount of Olives and it splits wide open. He's back. Millennial kingdom set up, throne in Jerusalem. All the nations will bow to him. But the other part in this scripture that we got to see is with the phrase, "our gathering together to him." He is speaking here of the rapture that will take place first. Amen. Now, the young church at Thessalonica was a little concerned at that time. They had heard a lot of different rumors, or if you would, conspiracy theories. They heard a lot of things incorrectly. That were that the second advent was at hand and Jesus is coming back to set up his kingdom. But Paul goes on in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 3. He says this, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless" what? "The falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." If you read the whole passages together, you realize, okay, there is a trumpet that's going to sound, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up with and be forever with the Lord. And then it talks about the son of perdition being revealed at that point. And I've shared about this, but that's when the Antichrist comes on the scene. Why are you going to sit around and spend all your time trying to guess who he is? You ain't going to be here to know. Amen. Act like you know the Bible. Just saying, read the book. Quit waiting for the movie. It ain't coming. The unchurched church at Thessalonica was concerned because they'd heard all sorts of rumors and all sorts of theories and ideas. But Paul told them, he said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You know, listen, the days we're living in right now, a lot of people view this falling away as a time of general backsliding everywhere, and especially in the church. And I believe that's an acceptable interpretation of the English translation. But I think this too. Are you ready for this? And I want to close here and we'll pray. But the phrase can also be translated, the first part, the falling away, that general backsliding, apostasy that will take place in the church. I believe that's true. That's a good interpretation. But the phrase can also be translated, you ready? Until the departure comes. And to me, as a pastor, somebody I'm sitting, I'm reading, I'm studying and looking at the Greek and the Hebrew on some of this, I'm telling you, that's a preferred translation to me because I believe it's a clear and 100% accurate reference of the rapture taking place. Today, folks, you need to live ready. Can you say amen? Amen. You need to live ready, because Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. We don't know when. We don't know the day or the hour. But he's going to come. And you need to be ready. I don't know about you. I'm going to have my Pastor James coffee mug. Be ready to rock and roll. Amen. Going to be playing Amazing Grace. Aren't you thankful for his grace for you? Amen. Isn't it so good and sufficient? Amen. Sure is. Folks, you need to live ready. Don't be in fear about these things. You ought to be excited. The greatest days of history are upon the church. And you know what's cool? You're a history writer right now. Amen. You're writing the pages of history. I believe the book of Acts is not finished. I believe there'll be historical pages and chapters written long before, throughout the millennium, of the Acts of the apostles and children of God, just like you. You should be living for him. If he called you to get your water pistol, your super soaker, and go after hell with it, you should grin real big. Bring it on. Let's rock and roll. Jesus wants to use you. He wants you to touch your generation. The generations that we're among and around right now, they are caught in the crossfire. God's called you to rescue a generation caught in the crossfire. Can you say amen? Amen. So let's not play church. Let's not play with the things of God. But let's be doers. Doers of the word. Doers of the things of God. And let's get busy. Because I tell you, the day is approaching. And you want to be ready. And you want to bring everybody with you that you can bring. Can you say amen?
Amen?
All right. Next time I preach about this, I want to talk to you about a little bit more about that restraining of the son of perdition. I want to talk about lawlessness being removed from the earth, what that means. And I want to share with you, the final question is, who will be taken in the rapture? Will all believers go? You're going to want to hear that. But it'll be after Mother's Day, okay? Amen. Praise God. You enjoy this today?
Amen.
Amen. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord. We know that you're coming soon. And we're so excited about all the good word that we read, the things we grab a hold of and know. Thank you for good, solid Bible scholars that teach us things, Lord, from the Greek and the Hebrew that helps us grasp and understand these things. But Lord, right now as a church, as the body of Christ, Lord, may we be alive on the inside and boldly declare the King is coming. The king is coming. Oh, like the song that Bill and Gloria Gayford would sing, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sound, and now his face I see. Lord, may we be aware that you're coming back. Aware as never before. That it's real to us. Lord, that we tell our family, we tell our spouses, we tell our kids, we tell their kids, tell our grandkids, Jesus is coming back. You need to be in church. The days are short. You need to live for him. You need to read your Bible. You need him. You need Jesus. Each one of us were called to be ambassadors of his love. Lord, I just thank you that just as you spoke to Mary and Joseph, I must be about my Father's business. Lord, may we be so bold to declare we must be about our Father's business. Lord, I thank you that as a church congregation, Lord, that these things are real and that, Lord, we do. We are hungry to see you face to face. I thank you, Lord, we'll tell others and look forward to the day we see you face to face. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know we have a lot of people who watch online in different countries. Lord, right now, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're watching online or if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, boy, it's a great day to be saved. It's a great day to ask him into your heart and truly know that you know that you know that you're born again. If that's you and you want to know, all you got to do is just say, that's me. Yes, Lord, come into my heart. Make me brand new. In fact, I'll do you one better. We'll pray with you. As a church, we'll pray all together. We'll pray with you. If you've not made a decision for Jesus, make it right now. Pray with us. Church, let's pray together. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you sent your only Son to bleed and die for me, and you raised him from the dead. I believe that. Father God, forgive me of all of my sins. Wash me pure. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this moment forward, I will live all of my days for you, serving you, honoring you. Thank you, Lord, that from this day forward, I declare that I am saved, I am born again, and I can't wait to see you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer today, we would love to pray for you this morning after church. If you come up front, we'll be glad to pray.